People often think that becoming famous overnight will fill that big gaping hole inside them. You know, the hole that's normally filled with delicious cupcakes, booze, and cocks.
Many folks dream of being on reality TV, unaware that they may already be living their dream life and forgotten to celebrate the fabulous things they already have.
Would being on reality TV really make things better for you? Or is it just putting your soul on layaway for the devil?
Today, Chef Jamie Larita and his partner, Rich Lane, who most recently got married on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, join us to talk about the ins and outs of being a reality TV star. Besides their family connections, Jamie's developed friendships with reality TV divas like Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race and the differently beautiful, voluptuous Big Ange from Mob Wives, who isn't really married to the mob at all.
Join us for this and all the hot news. A single mother and gender studies professor at Washington, D.C.'s American University defends breastfeeding her toddler during class.
And will Google's double standard when it comes to arbitrating hate speech on YouTube come back to bite the company in the ass?
Plus all your questions and a whole lot more. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is all about celebrating the things that work well in our lives and the things that sometimes we take for granted that are beautiful and wonderful. Joining us is Chef Jamie Larita and his partner Rich Lane, who most recently got married on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Jamie made his career as a backstage coordinator for musicians like Madonna, Sarah McLachlan, The Police, and many other famous people like Aerosmith. And of course, Rich Lane is a fabulous photography teacher in the suburbs of Chicago. They are also joined here by their fabulous neighbor, Roberta Hines, who was at the wedding. Welcome to Feast of Fun, guys.
Wow. Thanks for having us.
Hey!
Glad to be back.
So tell us about life before you guys got married on Real Housewives of New Jersey and afterwards. How did that affect your relationship?
You know, my whole life I've been around real giant, you know, ginormous fame and you know, the most, you heard the list of people I've worked for. So fame to me is very interesting because I get to see so many different sides of it in my own career. So when the Housewives opportunity came along, I thought it would be really cool for my family to become exposed, and I thought that was really awesome that they had picked the right family.
And well, let's talk about how they picked the family. They actually went to a hair salon in New Jersey and said, "Who are the craziest motherfuckers in this town?"
Something along those lines. You know, they definitely were talked about in the neighborhood. I mean, first of all, my sisters are beautiful girls. You know, that's number one. Number two, they're extremely like myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to say pig-headed, but we have our own opinion. You know,
Not afraid to state it.
No, and we're not afraid to keep it. You know, and that's the sign, I think, of a very strong person, is when they hold on to their identity and they be exactly who they are. So in my family, what you see is what you get for the most part.
And if you fuck with my family, I will come after you with everything.
That's your sister Caroline.
I know. I've never really been afraid of my sister Caroline until now.
Now you see her on TV.
I knew her when Caroline was like, you know, the girl we used to watch. I used to watch TV with my big sister.
Right.
And that's the Caroline I know. Then I went out and became, you know, what it is that I've become. And all of a sudden, I see my sister on TV, looking the way she does, like, you know, not that she looks completely different to me on TV than she does when I remember her as a girl. Because Caroline was almost like a tomboy, you know? She was always beautiful, but I see her now, you know, made up for TV. I think she looks beautiful. But for me, I remember
her. She described herself as a bulldog, and when I first saw her, I'm fine with the fact that, you know, she was sort of a unique person, like marrying into this family and being with Jamie for the past 14 years. I've known the family before they even had this fame and all that kind of stuff. And it was just very interesting when the whole progress of, you know, Dina having the show on VH1, where it was like her big, fat, fabulous, you know, wedding. And she had this wonderful wedding that was like a, you know, $1 million plus wedding. It was gorgeous. It was at the Brownstone.
Right.
And we... We went to that wedding, and then the show aired, and you know, it was just so funny.
Well, it was funny too because Rich had never really known, because I've lived in Chicago for such a long time. Yeah. He's never really known my whole family's history of, you know, just being that family. So
what do you mean by that family?
Well, that family that everyone knew. Everyone knew us in the neighborhood.
Why did they know you? Is that a notorious thing? Like, you were getting into trouble?
No, I just think that we were like, first of all,
there's a thousand of you.
There's 11 of them.
Okay, and I'm not going to lie. All of us are pretty good looking people, you know? So we were known as like that good looking family of ducks on the corner somewhere. But we were, you know, everyone knew us because we were all around the same age bracket. We were all good looking kids and we were funny. So everyone wanted to sort of be our friends. All the kids in the neighborhood all knew us because we were that family that, you know, it was the big Italian family that all were like, I don't know, for me, looking back on it, remembering what it was then, I don't know how the hell my mother did it. Like with 11 kids, like all right next to each other. I have friends
It's easier after like four. Four or 12, it doesn't matter.
Well, maybe Roberta. Like, you know, my friend Roberta's here. And, you know, I look at you raising one kid, two kid, and I think, oh my God, look how difficult that looks for me. Mm-hmm. And I think my mother did that 11 times. Come on, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they're cheaper by the dozen. My mother had eight kids in like 10 years, and it's just, you know, by the time that you have the first four take care of all the rest. Right. You're done.
Mm-hmm. How many children have you guys all had here?
Thousands. Yeah. Thousands, it seems like.
None.
Yeah.
You're sitting here with four nuns.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, because this is one thing that we've interviewed a lot of reality TV stars, and you guys seem to be very grounded people. And what I mean by grounded is that you don't see a lot of this media appearance as a means to a solution to a problem in your life.
Right.
You see it as a hobby, as a thing to enhance things, because it would be wonderful to get a lot of attention to something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the downsides is that then you start become a very superficial person and you start losing interest in the things that you love, like cooking or enjoying life or your friendships.
I know where you're going with that.
And,
you know, for me, I think because I've been exposed to a lot of the celebrity prior to my family and the show.
Because you were like basically babysitting Madonna.
Yeah, well, I was on tour with Madonna for her last Sticky and Sweet tour, the whole tour. My job was primarily to make sure she had everything that she needed backstage. I was the guy who delivered. So
the young boys, did you?
How many male Brazilian hookers did you get?
Did you have to measure their dicks? How big are they?
She did that on her own.
No, she's got her. I guess she's got her. She's got good.
Portion control.
She's got good radar. You know? She's got good radar. She has nice.
But so you were saying that because of the fact that you have made a name for yourself working for big A-list entertainers,
right,
that you have a very realistic view on what this can bring in.
And of course, and what I never want to be. I mean, for some reason, I guess God or the universe put me in front of every major celebrity, every genre of music. So I've got to see a lot of, I guess, behavioral, similarity. And so I just feel like now, looking at the reality show, I thought, oh, this is a kind of cool way to kind of segue my way into something that a lot of people see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, the only three times I was on the show is sort of these cameos, I think, in my opinion, of sort of positive impact. You know, the first show I was shopping with my sister Dina, and we were in town shopping for a backstage dress room for Madonna. And then the second season, I was giving Ashley some good advice about her tattoo not being a swallow, but calling it a sparrow. And the third season, I put out
don't call it a swallow, call it a sparrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, pray tell, did you not want to call it a swallow?
Girl with swallow on her, you know, is either the word written on her or do you put a bird on you?
No, she's not like that.
Maybe she's good at it.
No, Ashley's one of those.
We don't know that.
She's going to be a rock star someday, but that's just my opinion. I can associate my behavioral pass on some of the things she's done.
Jamie, you've been chasing after, lots of reality TV show divas, I would say. Michelle Visage, who we adore. And most recently, you developed a friendship with Angela Big Ange Raiola from Mob Wives.
Right. I wouldn't say chasing a relationship because that would
Twitter.
Okay, what? How would you describe the fact that you're hounding them on Twitter and then you're getting them to call you on the phone and now you're like best friends with these
women? No, that's not how that happened.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, your husband Rich is getting a little jealous.
No, you know what?
Don't get it twisted, bitch.
I love Michelle and I love Big Ange. We've always loved Michelle.
For people who don't know who Big Ange is, you might have stumbled upon her on television. She's this very enthusiastically beautiful.
Yeah.
And by beautiful, I mean differently beautied. Very exaggerated woman with ginormous breasts.
They're J's.
What is
jumbos?
Jumbo-sized tits and this like very swollen, large lips.
But she has wonderful legs.
Oh, yeah, and gorgeous lips, and she talks like this.
Jamie Gondor.
Let's hear Big Ange. You said you'd do it for the show.
I will give you a good.
He'll break into it. It will be a natural thing for him.
But here's the thing with Big Ange. You know, again, going back to my history of being around celebrities, I need someone to like really seriously entertain me. So we were watching TV one night. We ran into Big Ange. Mm-hmm. And we saw a few episodes of The Mob Wives. And then we actually, I remember saying that night, this bitch needs her own show.
Yeah, we saw her the first episode. And Jamie was like, the minute he saw her, he was like, I gotta know her.
Right. I thought Mob Wives was her own show. But you're saying that she's just a character.
She spun off of it.
Okay, yeah, because she's like all over the place.
Yeah, I know. So now we're sitting on the sofa as early as 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we're watching, you know, Rich had TiVo'd a few of her episodes, and I'm sitting there laughing, really, really laughing.
Like,
and
in order to make me laugh laughing.
After all the life I've been through, you gotta be funny. Right, so I'm dying laughing on the sofa.
Are you laughing with her or at her?
I'm laughing with her. Okay. With her. There's no reason to laugh at her. You know why? Because
you, we can laugh at her.
She'll fuck you up.
No. Here's, you know what she is? She's the epitome of I am being myself. You know, she doesn't give a shit. She's Big Ange. That's what I love about her. She's truly authentic. And you don't meet a lot of authentic people in the celebrity world, I have to tell you. You know, there's a lot of people that want to be your friend. They want something from you. I mean, it's just the way it is. But that woman, to me, she's a rock star.
And why do you feel like her friendship with you seems authentic or is authentic?
Well, we don't really have a friendship. I met her, you know, what happened was I met her one night at a restaurant in Chicago. There was something about her, probably because...
You were following her on Twitter, and then you found out she was in a restaurant, and you hightailed
it. No, tell the story how you met him.
What
happened was, everybody knows that I'm a big fan of Big Ange. If you call me a stalker on Twitter again, I'm going to come over there and rip that number 4 off your chest. I do not browbeat her on Twitter. As a matter of fact, I just started following her on Twitter. I go there on the back end. I just love her. So to me, she was... It just happened. So now here I am in New York with her over the past couple of days, and her fame is insane. People are coming out of their cars, out of the woodwork, to know or want to take a picture with Big Ange.
You're walking down the street with Big Ange.
Yes.
And I imagine she's wearing high heels.
She looked amazing.
And those big tits.
Right.
And the long, straight black hair.
Right. And people pull over their car.
She says, my God, my feet are fucking killing me. That's right. You know?
I can imagine.
She's on stilts, you know? She's on
Jamie,
stilts.
Carry me. I'm feeling so tired.
No.
Can you piggyback me?
She was carrying her own bags. The woman is fierce. I'm telling you, she's ginormous.
How does she walk around with those enormous breasts of hers?
They must weigh like 50 pounds. I know.
People, this is the equivalent as you took 2 bowling balls, put it on a backpack, and then hooked it onto your chest. It would give you back problems.
You got to read her new book. She's got a new book out called Big Ange, and it's...
She's got a strong lower back.
Her
body's super fit.
You know, but she's really, really tight. But she put in those big bazungas. This is like not her first
rodeo. She says that every year she gets plastic surgery to make them bigger.
Right.
And that by the time that she's 80, they're going to go past her knees.
Right. Well, I got to tell you.
Like, and she goes, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, she's like, no, bigger is truly better for her. She believes that.
I appreciate that, Big Ange.
Well, how does that silicone weigh? Does it weigh less than like regular body mass? Because wouldn't it be great if they were just filled with helium and they'd be like the lightest
thing? What weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of silicone?
Well,
so are you asking what's heavier, a ton of tits or a ton of feathers? Is that what?
Yeah.
They each weigh a ton.
Yeah. Right. Get it?
Yeah. I get it.
So what do you guys, you actually brought like a bowl of like pasta sauce and coffee and...
Yeah, those are our tomato jars of homemade tomato sauce that we made ourselves in our kitchen.
Is this for us to keep?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God, thank you.
You know I
so
always
much.
Bring you presents.
Mm-hmm. I like
I never
that.
Come, listen, never come empty-handed. If you come empty-handed, you suck. That's just my opinion.
I think when we visited you, we brought a bunch of stuff.
You did. You brought a lot of things. We cooked together.
But you know what it is? Like, when I visit my friends and stuff, I don't think of bringing a present as something that I have to do. It's like you want to, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's like you're like, oh my God, these are awesome things. I want to share them with you.
No, I love that. I love when my friends show up at my house with some ingredients. That's the best thing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know.
You made this tomato sauce all by yourself.
No, my friend. I have a friend in my neighborhood.
Who's, in the hood.
In the hood. Yeah. Whose mom jars tomato sauce, and I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So here I am in my kitchen with all these bushels of tomatoes all fucking day. I mean, nonstop making this tomato sauce. It was a big hot mess, but the end result is like I have jars filled. I love it. It's so cool.
It's a whole process. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was just two people, nice. And you're... When I tell you
it's a day, right?
It's a day. You have to boil the peel them. It's a lot of friggin' work. And especially when we weren't, you know, really set up to do it. But
I won't throw it out then.
Don't throw it out. Never, ever
there's
throw
no
it out.
There's no botulism either.
Bathe in that stuff. I'm going to put that in some nice quinoa pasta because we're kind of trying to do the wheat-free thing. So.
Are you really?
Yeah, we tell listeners, try. I'm going to say like Big Inch. I'm going to talk to like Big Inch for the rest of the show. You get yourself some quinoa pasta because that wheat in your belly, it makes it blow up.
It doesn't make me feel good.
It makes me feel like a giant frog or something. Oh, and it's like, I terrible. Just want to avoid the wheat.
I think
and
it's horrible.
The quinoa, that's where it's at.
Don't make fun of my Big Inch, bitches.
I'm just imitating.
She's, you know what? She's my girl.
I'm celebrating,
her.
Not hating.
You know, I don't get to be a fan of anybody. I'm going to be a fan of Big Inch, God. Damn it.
And you got to hang out with her for how many days in New York?
I was in New York for like 2 days with her, just hanging out. She took me on the set of the Joy Behar show.
Oh my God. What did Joy say to her?
Joy said, thinks she's the next big thing. Joy's going to the bar. I mean, I never really met Joy before, so it was kind of a trip, you know, seeing Joy next to Big Ange, just like giant and small.
Who cares? Oh, Joe, I love you. Oh, no, I love you. Because these two women have sort of rough voices.
You're going to tell this story about what Joy said to Big Ange. Can you tell that one? About being the next big thing.
Oh, yeah. She was just, you know, she's...
And Big Ange's response when Joy left the room.
I know. You know, she's very, very confident. That's why I love her so much. You know, if you do go on my Twitter is very positive. I keep it very inspirational. I love the idea that I help people. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that having this life of experience and travel has given me a whole new set of eyes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of things around the world, and I love helping people. I think that the more people do focus on helping each other, the better off the world's going to be, because we need to be like that.
I got a text message from Fausto. I don't know if it was he was quoting one of you guys that said, if you're not being aspirational, then you're being desperational.
Yeah, that was me.
Well, because this is an interesting thing, conversation you and I were having yesterday. You made your name as a stylist, as a chef for some of the biggest names in entertainment. You went on Oprah, the Cool Jobs episode, right? Yeah, and they were like, Jamie is cool, you know? And then, which I think Oprah usually tries to focus on people who are like aspirational, meaning that they want to better themselves and inspire others to do things.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Making something, not just consuming. Right. Not talking about where you went for dinner or what movies
saw. And taking your opportunity. For example, us in The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
We saw a real opportunity to get on that show and expose who we are. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we have a really great story. You know what I mean? So we thought, you know, take your shot. And I think that's what life's all about. And getting back to what you were saying.
Well, this is the criticism I always see. And I agree for most of it on reality television is that it does tend to, you know, rot people's brains. But I think when it comes to gay men and for us to be able to tell our stories from Project Runway to RuPaul's Drag Race to your appearance on Real Housewives, I think it actually helps make people more aware of LGBT equality and the diversity that people can have by discovering what other people's lives can be like.
Right.
I think reality television starts failing is that when it starts focusing on consumers like the Kardashians. I don't really know Big Ange, so I can't really talk too much about her. And I'm hoping that, you know, if Big Ange is listening to this, that hopefully that this will inspire her to take her reality television in a direction where she actually does things as opposed to consume.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, if you, again, that's a really great point, because knowing somebody personally, like when I met Big Ange, I realized who, I didn't really know her. I just knew her from the reality show. So this is a great perspective. I just knew Big Ange from the reality show. So when I met her, I actually got to know that image and who she is, who she really is, based on her actions, right?
Who is she?
She's a really nice lady. She's a great grandmother. I went shopping with her for her grandkids. Trust me, you want to be one of her grandkids. You know what I mean? Amazing gifts. I'm like, oh my God, you know, and she's really, really giving. Everybody's calling her on the phone. Everybody's asking her for a picture.
She's kind of like a modern Mae West.
She's real.
In a lot of ways, because I saw this one episode and I was stumbling upon it on the cardiovascular machine, the TV set at the gym. And she's like she's auditioning for a pool boy. And her audition for the pool boy was be much like Mark and I. She was like, will you give me a back massage?
That's what I like about her. She's real.
And she ended up hiring potentially a gay kid to do the gig. Remember? She's had a lot of gay, favorable gay issues on her show. She had a gay night at her club. She's actually very pro LGBT.
Oh yeah, extremely pro gay.
Yeah,
great. She loves the gays. So that's the other thing.
So she is a lot like Mae West at a certain.
She's Mae West.
You know, she's really is. And that was the thing I loved about her, is that I was just waiting to see the moment when she wasn't really Big Ange, and I was going to get disappointed. Listen to me, I'm a super fan, for fuck's sake. you know, at the end of the day, I was more of a stalker afterwards in the sense, because I really I thought, here she is. Her next show should be called Real Big Ange, because she's bigger than that, you know, so that was really cool to see.
We're actually taping this live. That's why we sound like we're in a hurry, as part of a LGBT podcast Pride series, Pride48.com. And so we're taking some questions from people right now. A user called Inquiring Minds wants to talk about the dark side, the bad sides of putting yourself out there as a couple and into media and entertainment. What's the worst part about putting yourself out there as a celebrity couple?
I would have to say that the fact that, you know, having everybody know you is kind of a cool thing. We've had many great experiences with people coming up to us, and we're always great, like, hey, we want to take your picture and all that kind of stuff. We don't mind that part of it. But it's then the fact that we always know that that's a possibility to happen anywhere we go. So we do think about it, as far as even when we're walking down the street, or not in our own neighborhood, because we don't care about that much, but when we're in the city, we constantly think about it. Like,
and I love it.
I feed off of it, people it, too, like you do, but I would say, like last night, we're walking down in Lakeview, sort of like, you know, getting a sense of the vibe, and there was this beautiful young woman who had this real happy look in her face, and she said, oh my God, I watched you guys on Real Housewives. I was so happy. And then you guys were like kind of ready to walk on. I said, would you like to take a picture? And then Rich, you shot me a dirty look.
Well, you know what happens? I'll tell you what, that we are not even trying to be famous. Okay. It's just, we have this recognition from the show.
She loved you guys.
I know. You know what though? There's a lot of things that happen. This is interesting.
Okay.
When you are with your friends, and believe me, I love every single person that comes up and says that. How, you know, just don't call me Jamie Manzo. That gets weird.
Yeah, Jamie Manzo is a big no-no.
I get, you know, so I'm Jamie Larita. They get that mixed up, but I'm joking. But the thing is that they come up to you and they want to take your picture, and then somebody else might want to do that. But then you're with your friends who know you from being just, you know, that schmuck.
Rich and Jamie,
you know, like whatever. They're your friends, like, you know, people that you've known before, and they're seeing you experience this whole other side of your life. And for whatever the transaction is, for me, I always feel kind of bad, like, oh, this.
But do your friends like resent you for it?
No.
I don't think so.
Because I've had friends who are like, you know who really resents
our friends
me?
Use us
my
for
family.
It. Our friends are flat out. We have a friend in the bars,
Rich,
that will basically say, I'm not going to say his name, but he'll encourage
it.
He'll know who it. Yeah. Anyway,
we know you're talking about
if
you.
He sees people making eye contact, hey, these are the Real Housewives. You know, they were on the wedding.
But you know what? 100% of the time, it's been really super positive. That's why I love it. Everyone comes over to us and says, that was the, everyone cried for whatever reason. They loved crying about it.
And this is what I said to, like, you know, I'm not going to say any names, but Jim Ferraro's. Sorry. That just came out of my throat.
Oh my God. And you threw up.
We were hanging out with Jim Ferraro's. And I think that Jim Ferraro's is a lovely, great person. He's a great musician, but he's uncomfortable. He got thrust in American Idol at a very young age, and he's had an uneasy situation with being recognized and interacting with a complete stranger who may be a creep or a wonderful person. You never know. And, you know, and so we were at Sidetrack, and I said, and he's like, turns to me and he goes, if you tell anybody that I'm here, I'm going to get so pissed off. It was kind of like this weird, like, he was daring me.
This is Jim Ferraro's. You remember him from American Idol, first season. He was the first person ever to get kicked off that show.
He was wearing, and Fausto, it didn't help that you had a t-shirt like,
I'm with Jim Ferraro.
I'm with Jim Ferraro. Yeah, exactly. With an arrow.
American Idol.
So he's first there, season. And this guy comes first in, this American sweet 18-year-old boy is like, oh my God, Jim, can I get an autograph? And he was like, no. And he was so pissed off, he stormed out of the place.
I've never been asked for an autograph.
You know, and I'm just like, look, these people
want the photo. They want Twitter.
And I'm going to tell you, everybody out there, whether you're in media or not, you know, these are your customers.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're the ones who are going to be buying your spaghetti sauce and putting food on the table until the day you die.
I understand what you're saying, but that's really not the...
That's not the issue?
No, I mean... For me, I love everybody. I'm just a lover. I love people in general. So the more people that I can reach and to love me back, I'm happy with
that. You have a big heart, but that's from cholesterol.
Exactly. And you have a big heart on two over there.
Yes, that's from stroking it.
You know, from the chat room, Toppy Smelly brings up a good topic. He goes, my problem, just one of them with reality TV, is that it has made it okay to speak unkind words about people behind their backs. Well, once upon a time, we used to think if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. But now it's all out there with great relish.
Yeah, right. You're right about that. You know, it seems like, you know, when you watch these shows, and not my family show in particular, but most of the shows have sort of run this common thread of, you know, fighting and competing with each other now. Mm-hmm. And I think because of the ratings factor, there, you know, the audience is telling them we want to see more of that. So you can't really blame the reality shows 100%. You have to know that people are tuning in as an audience to watch that shit. Mm-hmm.
What you also have to blame, though, is that in what you know about the inside of the show, or what at least we know about the inside of the show, is that when they're fighting about the show, but yet they don't talk about the show because they can't talk about the show while they're fighting on camera. But that's all what this relates to.
Explain that to me. So they're fighting about
it just, you know,
technical directions or camera.
How do you know what they're fighting about, Rich? You're not there.
I know, but you know, the direction of a lot of those shows is that these people become famous. Right. They become famous. That's what they're on the show,
right? And it happens. The second Teresa turned over that table, that was like a dramatic moment in history that people remember. You know, the problem is,
you think she planned it?
No way. That was, there's no actress in the world that could have played that part.
But let's face it, they are acting. I mean, even though they are reality stars, they are on reality show. Let's face it, they're all acting. They're not putting forth a certain part of them. That's loosened up over this year. Is it's loosened up with some of the season?
You're saying that when the camera's on you, you're not 100% yourself.
You're on their best behavior.
I think it was an important thing too. I think it was Jill Zarin. I think she left the Real Housewives of New York, but she did a little video before she left. She's just like, you know, I love my fans, I love the people, but please stop saying to me, I really like the show, but I wish you guys wouldn't talk about each other behind your back. And she goes, that's the whole point of the show, is to talk about each other behind your back. Because this is the thing, it's human nature. We like to gossip.
Mm-hmm. And
we
bonds us together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
it's true. It brings us together.
The problem with some reality TV shows that I've been watching is that, you know, unlike any other time in history, you know, these people are editing your personal lives into what they want you to be.
The storyline.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of editing that goes on, and there's a lot of reality that goes on. It's creative reality and creative editing, you know. But for me, my personal opinion of that, say, celebrity that is on the show, is that they haven't the chance to live out, you know, everyone knows sort of what they think the truth is.
Sure.
And you basically have to, you can't take it back, is what I'm trying to say. You know, what you put out there on TV, people assume you're that way for the rest of your life whenever they meet you.
Right.
So that's why for me, in the case that, you know, when Rich and I went on, I thought, if I'm going to come out on the show and be on the show, and we're going to come out on the show, we're going to be exactly who the fuck we are. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be this gay man, gay couple that's really, you know, living out there in the middle of suburbia.
We're taping this live, so for people who have just started listening, our guests today are Chef Jamie Laurita and his partner Rich Lane, who most recently got married on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're talking about the blessings and curses of reality television.
Bolt of thunder.
Dun, dun, dun. And why you might already been a winner of American Idol or of Real Housewives or whatever it is that you think that television may cure, you may have already been healed and you may have it actually pretty good. We're also joined by Roberta Hines, their nosy next door neighbor,
Mrs. Kravitz.
I'm a big gas up.
Roberta, you were actually at the gay wedding at the episode where everybody was sweating up a storm.
I was at the rehearsal dinner and the wedding, and I took part in the wedding.
And so you were there with all the cameras. Was it annoying? Was it fun? What did you even notice that it was for television? Or
oh yeah, you do. There was
did that
there was a huge boom, like
boom
an arm,
camera.
A huge boom arm camera scanning the whole front lawn. So it was very obvious it was there. But it was a very intimate setting. You know, I would say more so being in a small setting the night before when you're at the rehearsal dinner. That was when you really knew the cameras were there, because we're basically there with Jamie's family and they're all mic'd. And some of these people, you know, I met for the first time. I had met his mother before, but I remember.
Are you a fan of the show? Did you watch it like before you went to the wedding? Don't lie. It's fine. If I
have seen the show and I've watched it with Jamie. Of course, I've seen every episode that Jamie was on. So, I mean, I knew who they were. I'm Italian. I grew up in like an Italian neighborhood. So, and I'm using my hands a lot when I'm talking.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm watching.
I'm a hand talker. So I saw it, and then I actually think I met Jamie after he appeared on it for the first time. So
you also had Mr. T as a next door neighbor as well from the 80s.
I pity the fool whose neighbor
was up in Barrington, I think, right?
Yeah, like down pretty
close
by.
Every time you see it, I laugh, and I'm wondering.
I think it's so cool. That's awesome.
When did you ever hear?
You guys told us that we were like having empanadas.
No, he's our literal neighbor.
He lived in Barrington.
Oh, I thought he lived in Maryland.
Does he?
Yeah,
he lived in Barrington for a while. He actually has a daughter who lives in the city. I want to get her on the show. She's actually a stand-up comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna get you, sucker, some new poinsettias to put on your lawn for Christmas.
I would have loved for him to be our neighbor.
Oh my god, that would have been perfect. Then we would have had the neighborhood nice where we had like all this. That would have just topped it all up. And Mr. T lives there too.
You know, actually, Mr. T in real life, he's like, how are you?
Now, Roberta,
I think he's kind of sexy. I don't know why.
I think he's hot. Yeah, right? I've always been a big fan of Mr. T.
I know when like Mr. T first came out, I was like, hell,
18
shit.
Years.
Would you have sex with Mr. T?
Would yes. I? You know, I've never gone. I've always stayed in the vanilla. I went vanilla to caramel. I never went to the chocolate side of things. But I certainly hear it's extremely tasty.
So you guys are the godfathers to Roberta's child.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, why did you pick them to be a godfather to this particular child?
Well, I didn't know them when I had my first child, but I have become very close with them. In fact, we believe the child may have been conceived in the house during a period of time when we were forced out of our
home.
There
was a blackout.
Because of a bad storm, and I was ovulating, and we wanted a kid, so I had to do it.
So you are admitting that you had sex in their house?
She doesn't really know,
I mean, it was in the bathroom.
Which bathroom was it in? Was it in the master bathroom?
The guest one.
Oh, the guest one. Oh.
So now,
I want to have sex in the master bathroom, so I'm going to tell the listeners about your master bedroom.
Let's talk about the whole
about the bathroom first. So you have a bed, a big giant, you know, bed in your master bedroom, of course, in this big room. And then you have a giant bathroom next door. And then you have a shower. And you can actually, like, there's a glass window and you can see whoever is in there showering. So, like, if you get up in the morning from work, you get in the shower, Jamie just lays there in bed and goes, oh, look
isn't
at him,
cute?
Soap up.
It's very Tommy Lee. We saw it on Cribs.
Don't use all the
Are you serious?
No, I call it the Tommy Lee window because when he described that he wanted this window, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I sort of like fought him a little bit on it, like thinking like, window. And I'm like, okay, but Tommy Lee did it in Cribs. We saw that.
He's so such
I'm like,
a that's bullshit cool. artist. He's such
Tommy
a bullshit
Lee has a great cock.
He's bullshitting.
Your house is so elaborate. It makes Martha Stewart look like an underachiever. You guys listen, like hand carved all this like trees in the neighborhood. You made this like, it just is. I got to tell you, people, it is my wet dream of what a house should look so like. It is, the kitchen is outrageously decked out. you just have everything there. It's fantastic. Listen,
you know, when you work hard and you sacrifice a lot, you get abundance. And I think that we're not rich. You know, we're not saying we're rich people. We're very wealthy.
Your husband's first name is
right.
Rich.
Well, I asked for it. It was funny. I always wanted a rich man, and I got a man named Rich, but who turned out to be extremely wealthy.
You know what? Him and Big Ange have something in common because Big Ange went for the pension, and I think, you know, Jamie's philosophy. Yeah,
this was a great line that Big Ange said. I died. She said on the Joy Behar show, she said, you know what? Joy said, Ange, you know, you date the gangsters. Now you're dating this Irish guy who's a garbage man, you know? And she said, you know, I thought it was better. She said, my new motto is don't go for money. Go for pension. You know? She's like, yep, marry the pension. And I died. I thought that was hilarious. So, yes, Rich.
I have a pension.
Right. Because you're a teacher. Last weekend, we had the wonderful experience of hanging out with Michelle Visage here in the home studio.
You have to say Michelle Visage
from RuPaul's Drag Race. Right.
That's right,
girl. How are you?
Which looking even good. That Twitter stalking situation was really just so once.
You
admit it. Yeah,
you admit it,
Jamie. Oh no,
look at the people. 12 steps.
He tweeted her. Okay, he tweeted her.
Fine, say what the fuck you want, right? Yeah. But fine. Listen.
You're on the defensive.
I am. I'm pissed.
She's a huge Housewife fan, too.
Listen to the girls. If I am stalking them, they're amazing.
Yeah. They're Michelle never going to admit that. Yes, they're never.
Michelle Visage.
Yes. Michelle treated him like they were best friends when he came.
I love these women. But who's next? Who should I stalk next,
know.
Big Mouth? Come on, tell me.
Dear listeners, tell us, who should Jamie who should be stalking next? Yeah.
It's got to be somebody ultra fabulous. But who can beat those two?
Michelle and Jamie, like, after hanging out with them, after we left here, we went to an event at Spin, a nightclub in Chicago, and had a great time. They said so many things. Like, she said things that were straight out of Jamie's mouth.
We are
that
so, it was so soul sisters.
They are soul sisters.
Believe me.
Like, beyond.
For Rich to say that,
and
he
I was
never
like,
bullshit.
She said everything, like, we're from the Faccia Brut. Like, he always says Faccia Brut.
So, are you going to, like, go to LA and visit her?
Of course. I love her. Yeah. You know what I would love to do with her? What? I want to bring back the radio show. I think all of us should do a radio show together.
Let's
with
do
her.
It.
Yeah, that would be would a be podcast.
A podcast.
Like we're doing now.
Oh, wait. You know what's funny? Wait.
Oh, my God. We did it last weekend.
Hold on. But you know what's funny about doing a podcast with these guys? This is the dangerous part about being in the room with you two. You forget that there's microphones. You're just talking, having a conversation.
That's not true. Yeah. I haven't said anything about like things you told me not to talk about.
No. But you know what I'm saying?
All those crimes.
Sordid details of your wanton.
You said you were Roberta. Stop talking about Roberta like that. She's our friend.
anyway, you got to hang out with Michelle Visage in the hotel room while she got changed. Did you get to see her naked?
Not naked, no.
What state of
bra? Show us. I saw bra.
Because she's got some kachungas, too.
You know what?
She's got kachungas.
They're not J's.
What's that song? What's that song? It's a lovely day that she sings.
Lovely day. Let's talk about our experience downstairs. We're in the dressing room. We're hanging out. We can tell this story about the princess, right?
Here
we go, attacking my princess again.
Oh, actually like her.
Well, someone's got to be on her side.
Listen, so anyway, so we had told Michelle Visage, because, you know, we talked about the queens here in Chicago, and, you know, that have been on the show. And we talked about the princess, and we said, oh, yeah, we had invited the princess on, and she never really responded, And then she's just like, why haven't you had me on the show? Why haven't you had me on the show? And then we were just like, and she was actually kind of weird about it. And so we were walking away, and Fausto was like,
she was pissed off.
And so then Fausto's like, oh, now we have to have her on the show because she's crazy. And he said it loud enough for her to hear.
Oh, so why do you think she's pissed?
Well, and when I mean crazy, I mean like she's wild. Crazy, cool. She's outrageous. Good.
Okay, so maybe.
Like Big Ange.
Oh, so you were saying like, oh, she's crazy, like in a cool way.
Crazy
well,
cool.
I think is this your apology to the princess?
I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying that maybe if you're a person who legitimately suffers from, you know, mental health problems, I'm not saying that she does or does not. But if you do, then when somebody calls you crazy, it's kind of like if you're suffering from obesity and someone saying you're large or big gals, you know, they might interpret it as a diss on your
Well, crazy is one of those words that if someone said you're crazy, I'd be like, that's an easy one to get.
People say I'm crazy all the time. And
you are crazy.
Damn right, baby. You know, and I'd be like, awesome. We're like a prime.
Jamie calls me crazy all the time.
He's so crazy.
So there we are. We're downstairs. We're in the dressing room. Yeah. And then we're all like in a circle. And then Princess comes over and says hi to Michelle Visage. And Michelle Visage knows the story. And then she goes, Princess, you know Mark and Fausto from Feast of Fun. Why don't you do their show? Kind of like, I'm Michelle Visage. I'm going to stir this pot.
Ooh.
And so Princess just kind of looks like,
she was stammering.
She was stammering. Then she just looks down at Michelle Visage's feet and goes, nice shoes. And then kind of walks away.
You know what? I think he's a very nice boy.
Yeah,
Princess
he's very nice.
Reminds me of Barbara Eden. Mm-hmm. Buzzed head. I was looking at him.
I got when he's I first pretty. Met Princess. The drag was flawless.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty face.
Lots of flawless drag. And then it was
like a lot of drag queens though. They rely too much on too many props and not enough on themselves as people and what they're doing on stage.
And then there was came up on stage while Michelle was up there too, and was talking to Michelle and basically kissing her ass. And then Michelle just picks up the microphone, looks at me, and goes, Princess, I guess you don't remember all the mean things I said about you on the show. And then again, I was like, oh, have a good time tonight, guys.
We love you.
That will stick in my mind forever.
Now, that's not fair thing to say you love her because you don't even know her.
I do love her.
How do you love her?
Because I love her.
What do you like about her?
I'll tell you what I like the most about her and about everybody else like her, including people like myself.
Uh-huh.
Is that she puts it out there, you know? She's being exactly who she is. And sometimes you get disliked. Sometimes people don't want to know you. People don't want to help you. Mm-hmm. People don't want to do anything with you because you're just being you, and that pisses them off.
What I don't like about Princess that I don't really know her.
We don't know her.
I don't know her either. At all. Mm-hmm. And I can just say is that I don't feel like she's being honest with me about what she wants. And when I ask her, how can I help you? Give me these tools to help you. And she responds with silence.
Maybe
you're
having a bad day.
Maybe. I said, look, you know, give us what we need. You weren't on the show very much, so we don't really know what to talk about with you. But we think you're interesting. Send us some talking points. Mm-hmm. Send them some other interviews because there's nothing about you on the internet. You know, even us talking about you on the show is good publicity. I hope you appreciate it, girl.
I hope you do.
Listen, Princess, we're on your side, all of us. Stay pretty.
The Blue Jeans guy writes in the chat room, he says, it's so cool listening to two of the guys who were my inspiration to begin podcasting.
And that was Jamie and Rich.
Yeah. We do it from our home.
They didn't even know what a podcast was when we started
podcasting. We did. Rich knew what an iPod was, and I knew what a Peapod was.
Well, David, who's a podcaster, that Blue Jeans guy's because he likes to wear jeans, blue jeans.
Obviously,
I'm not sure if it's a Captain
Kangaroo
thing.
That's a sexual fetish for him. I think he likes to keep them on while he has sex. Am I right, David?
Blue jeans.
Respond. Yeah. Oh, we're reading these things. Oh, he meant Fausto and Mark.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
But so anyways, the beautiful thing about podcasting, and I think this is the difference between reality television and people who will become famous through the means of others. Is that when it's a creation of your own making, you feel like you have a personal investment and a relationship with the audience that follows what you do. But for a lot of these reality TV stars, they feel like it's a job that they have. And when they're off the clock, meaning out and about hanging in a bar, they start resenting the fact that they feel like they have to work and be nice to people who are viewers of the show.
Hmm.
And
what's your
I'm just trying to understand that.
You know?
I think in people coming up to us personally, being on a reality show, and I know that they know who we are, I think it's a very positive thing because that means they're very pro-gay marriage. I mean, that's why I'm fine with people coming up to us and bothering us at restaurants, because if they're that that's fine if they
they're people you want to know.
There are people I want to know because they're the kind of people who are like, you know what, may change their vote.
Those are the people that we did it for. We didn't do it for money. We didn't get paid. It was like, you know.
But you did it for, because, and I think that's actually a good motivation, and I'm hoping that Big Ange is doing this because she's, it's fun, you know.
Well, that's why people like the show so much, because she is fun. If you watch the show and you see it every episode, it's all about having
fun. But I think the mistake happens for some of these people is that when they do it because they feel like they have to do it, because they feel like it's a career making moment for them. Right. And I think that's for us, like, why we've hesitated on, you know, because we're drag queens and we thought it might be fun to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. And certainly, you know, the people who run it have given us enough green, wink, wink, green lights, like, send your audition tapes. And part of me is like, that was a part of my life in the past. And right now, if I were to do that, I would have to buy all this stuff and I would have to basically learn how to be a drag queen all over again.
You could do it, girl. I believe in you.
We all believe in you.
But my hesitation about this is like, why?
We got to talk about that.
Am I doing the motivation right? Am I doing this because I love being in drag? I love being a drag queen? Or am I doing this because I think it would be good for my career?
Yeah. What, doing what you're doing right now?
No, being a reality TV show contestant. You know, and I think...
Because he's like, where would the podcast be? Where would we be? He's like, maybe like in another world, I already won that show 5 years ago, and this is the fruits of that, you know?
Right. Blue Jean says, once a drag queen, always a drag queen.
Oh, she's got that right.
Let's talk about...
I would be a drag queen, but I would be so unattractive. Rich is much prettier. I would be a drag queen.
You look like your sister.
You guys
you
are
very
fierce
pretty.
Queens. You can watch them on YouTube, there's a video of you guys in drag.
Right? But I have no room for any eye makeup. That's my always jealous worst, thing about.
I don't know how women do it. I don't know how they walk up.
You have to cover up your eyebrows.
No, you have to cover your eyebrows. That's what drag.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, being a woman is a lot of work.
I have like you comb them up, glue stick, and then you put makeup on.
Listen to him.
I don't think it would work.
You just shade. It's all about shading.
I've got one thing to say. You better beat your face with makeup.
The nice thing about you though too is you have a high forehead and you shave your head.
So I love Roberta looking at
you. You have a lot of room to play there.
How can I look better?
You'd be a real pretty girl.
You'd be real pretty.
I have a good neck.
I have my new beauty secret that I've been doing is like I learned a long time ago to shape my eyebrows. The black girls at Michael Jordan's restaurant when I worked there taught me, like, don't go get them plucked, don't go get them threaded or waxed, just shave them. What do you mean shave them? Just like get some Vaseline, put them around there, and you can pick up those stray hairs. And so I've been doing that. And then I've been like learning like more about like how to wash my face. And we talked to the David Letick, who's an older guy. He's just like, number one thing, don't ever wash your face with water. Use some kind of product. I'm like, how do you not wash your face with water? And so I was doing some more research.
Soap is the means.
Is this an infomercial?
No, okay. It's not. This is real information. Knowledge. That's entertainment.
Okay, yeah, this is what we do. And so I was just like, all right, well, I'll start cleaning my face with coconut oil. So I put the coconut oil and then I would blot it off. And then I would just, then I'd go to bed. And then the next day I'd wake up and I was like, it started to look better. And then one day.
Should we expose this idea? We can be millionaires, multimillionaires. It's
not, no, this is what we give this away. Okay. And so then one day I was just like, all right, well, let me try shaving with it. So I shaved my face. I was just like, oh my God, this is the closest shave I ever had before. I've moistened my beard a little bit, coconut oil, and then I shaved. And then I started reading that Marilyn Monroe and Liz Taylor, they used to shave their face.
Like monkeys,
like their whole face.
So what you're saying, monkeys shave their faces?
And then just pencil in the eyebrows?
Well, no, they wouldn't shave off their eyebrows, but they would shave their face. And I'm just like, well, and I, you know, I have like hair on my cheeks, and, you know, on my, like,
everybody has a little bit of hair everywhere.
I'm a fucking ape.
Jamie's sister, Caroline, on the first season of The Housewife said that she shaves her face.
Why did you have to bring that up?
It's true.
It is true. I didn't know that at the time.
Are you like hurt that your lover, your husband, brought up your sister's shaving habits?
She talked about it.
No, not hurt.
Yeah, she talked about it.
Hurt.
Though.
And so I shaved.
I'm hurt.
Well, you seem like pissed about it.
But the point is though, and this is why probably why Caroline does it. Besides, probably she might be a little hairy. She's Italian.
She's beautiful. Right.
You know,
she has a good hairline. To look good. She has a good hairline.
What's your control?
The thing is though, it's kind of like it's a form of dermabrasion. Yeah. And so I did it, and I was just like, my God, my skin looks good. So I said, Fausto, you're gonna think I'm nuts.
This
and
was when?
Always. I think it was it yesterday?
And so we went before. So we shaved our faces like
and
monkeys.
I had Fausto shave his forehead.
His skin looks great.
Your skin looks like the bumper of a 1967
ran into you guys and we
Corvette.
Went to a stripper bar and I was so embarrassed that like half of the strippers are like, hey Fausto, how's it going? I'm like, looking good, girl.
So you guys look like a pair of headlights.
Does that make me a trashy person if I go to a sleazy stripper bar and half of the strippers know me but on a first name basis? Not from having sex with them.
No.
Well, they just know you.
We didn't want to tell you guys.
Let's get back to your skin, though. You know what?
Last
night
we ran into them at the bars. They looked like a fucking pair of headlights coming down the street.
So why?
That's how we noticed you. I'm like, who are these guys with the really shiny, bleeding forehead?
I'm not bleeding. There's
Listen,
no razor
these guys
burns.
Are crazy. There's a buffer. There's a buffer of some kind of wax buffing machine on their counter. You guys waxed your face with that.
Actually, it's great to massage your muscles.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's what that's for.
I'll give you a massage after we're done.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy.
You can watch on YouTube, youtube.com/feastoffun. You can see a video of me and Mark massaging each other. Non-sexually. With a car buffer. And you can also listen to clips of all our shows. Did you know, even though you don't have a Feast of Fun subscription, that you can actually listen to 10-minute clips of the shows to see if that is something you want to buy? Because Feast of Fun is made possible because of the generous support of financial fabulous listeners like you.
And I do have to do a very, very special shout out to Philip and Rodney in New York, who gave us a very special gift, as well as Mark, who has always been a constant supporter, and Frederick in the Netherlands. Thank you so much for your gift. We could not do the show without you guys' help, and it just means the world to us.
Yeah, and so you can get a fabulous podcast 5 days a week simply by upgrading your Feast of Fun Plus account to premium. So go to feastoffun.com/plus. You get all the details. You get your own private podcast, and you get that in your iTunes. And it's like having your own entertainment channel just for yourself.
That'd be good.
Porsche control. Jamie, would you buy me a Feast of Fun Plus account?
I already bought 10.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was worth it. And the t-shirts are fabulous.
Louis's got one too.
Little Louis.
Big Ange has a hot son, right?
Oh my God.
Her son's gorgeous.
She's got a really hot son and a really gorgeous daughter.
Wow. I don't care about the daughter, really.
No, she's something else.
I like girls. They're fun to hang out with, but you know.
Let's talk about the hard news.
Let's talk about the royal subjects. Kate Middleton's boobs.
Yes. Oh. Those nice tits.
I haven't seen the tits. Them. No.
Okay, so people are pissed off right now because
they're pissed off at her tits?
Who will probably be the next king of England, Prince William, right, and his lovely, lovely wife, Kate Middleton. They went on vacation to France, and it's standard in France, you take your top off to sunbathe, and Kate Middleton took off her top off.
Popular in all over Europe.
All over Europe, but especially in France. Yeah. And so some paparazzi got up pictures, and they printed them, and everybody's pissed off, not just the fact that Kate Middleton showed off her tits, but that she doesn't have breast implants, and she has modest breasts. Oh, and I'm like, that is the rudest, most disgusting thing. You know, she's an elegant, lovely woman, no hateful bone in her body. And
you
this
don't
is,
know.
And horrible. She seems awfully,
you don't
awfully
know.
Nice.
She'll be a horrible person.
She seems awfully nice, you know? And there's nothing she's done to make me think of her any
That's
less.
That's really weird.
I just
guys.
Kind of like
That's really weird. That's really weird that there's it just in the world in general.
Yeah.
Weird, this show was. Not primarily, but we've touched on tits twice or three times already in this podcast.
Foster's mother was a breast milk advocate.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's breastfeeding advocate.
Breastfeeding, yes.
But I think, listen, everybody comes from mothers and everybody's breastfed.
What is it with tits?
Some extent.
I've never really got that.
They feed us as human beings for the first years
of
our lives.
So that's why people love them?
And they remind you of
my mother never
They also say because they remind men of the buttocks as well, they say.
Oh, well, that's the other thing.
Well, you know, she's very important.
She is going to be a mother figure. For England, so they're why not?
No, I understand the need for breasts, and I appreciate what comes out of the life force that comes out of the breast.
Yeah,
but I wonder why people are so nuts about
because of sex. People have hang-ups about sex.
What do you do with them? I mean, really, like
you suck on them,
guys,
and lick them.
Listen, it turns.
Don't you like
on.
Your nipples played with? Are you one of those people that don't like have?
No,
nipples?
He doesn't want his nipples to get bigger.
And they actually say
that made me crazy.
They actually say men's nipples are more sensitive to women's because women's have to endure more pain from like doing that. Hmm. The thing is, though, too, I wonder because those pictures of Prince Harry in Las Vegas, those came out just like what 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When were these pictures taken? Because are these something that they sat on for a while? You know, is like the whole Prince Harry thing, like a setup to take like the brunt of it.
Were you guys happy to see those pictures?
Fuck yeah, Prince Harry, he looked gorgeous. I love him.
Absolutely beautiful. I think every celebrity and person in the future should pose naked, especially if you have a gorgeous body. Yeah. Show it off.
Well, a lot of people there's have a, become famous.
A professor at American University, Adrienne Pine. She began her first day back in the classroom this semester, the same way she has been since she started teaching, making sure her research was up to date. Her notes reviewed, the lecture she was about to give was ready, but before she left for school, she noticed that her baby daughter wasn't feeling well. And since usually the daycare center doesn't allow for children with fevers, the mother teacher brought her baby into class. And then while she was in the, you know, it was the first class, her baby was crying and she decided to breastfeed in front of the kids. Mm. Now, this is a gender studies class. Wait, at American University.
Oh, it's a university.
You know, it was not a big deal to breast. And she did it discreetly, you know, just say, excuse me. And she,
Here's my tit. I put it in the mouth.
She wasn't like performing for the students. She took a little time off.
She didn't do it to music.
And all these uptight students who probably are pretty
young. Gender studies class.
Gender studies class. They're all upset. And they threw a huge stink that made it to national news, picked up by CNN.
You want
to
know what?
Let me tell you. For breastfeeding, for having the audacity of breastfeeding her kid in a class.
I'll tell you the problem.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you the problem. I don't know this girl, but I'm going to just assume it's just my opinion. I don't know her at all. I hardly know the story, but I bet you she was a bitch.
Why are you saying that?
Because.
Wait, the girl who reported her?
No, the teacher.
I'm just saying. I say the teacher. She is. She could be the nice person.
I'm a union person at my school, and I'm like, hearing that story, I was like, oh my God, no wonder she's
got rich. Could you breastfeed at school, Rich, if you wanted to?
No, they have a special room.
But I breastfeed in front of you guys.
Exactly. So let me finish my point.
You're saying that the teacher was wrong in doing this.
No. Oh, wait, hold up.
Or are you saying the student that ratted her out?
The teacher breastfed?
Yes.
Oh, I missed it.
Well,
she took a break from teaching because her baby was sick and was crying. And she said, look,
she's a voyeur.
Let me please, you know, and in classrooms, you know, you just turn to the back and say, please excuse me. And
I mean, it depends on if she was in the mid lecture or she was discreet about it.
Well, you know how have you ever been in college classroom, the opening day, nothing really happens. They're just kind of like going over.
Yeah, they give you your books.
So
and
how
then
do
you
we
leave.
Know what's going through her mind?
That's
how do you know she's
school.
Not sitting there thinking?
No, I can't wait to whip my tit out.
First day of college.
I think she's just a really good mom.
She was just caring about her child and trying to give her, and especially when they're ill, you want them to get that breast milk because the doctors say, you know,
the other thing is though too, if your child's sick, is it's like, why go to school? Why not have somebody?
It was her first day.
She had no other option.
We're talking to a real
breastfeeder.
Roberta knows. She's a breastfeeder.
We've seen it.
Yeah, Roberta, it's like, don't you think it's like perfectly fine? And I think it's actually really cruel and kind of jerky that these college students are complaining that the teacher was breastfeeding.
Well, I mean, that's their prerogative. They can complain about what they want to complain about. I mean, if she was discreet about it, I don't think it's a problem. In fact, you need to take care of your child, and that's priority one.
Roberta's also a lawyer, too.
I also think the issue that it's a gender studies class makes it even more important. Like,
remember,
if it was math, you'd be like, well, what's the math teacher doing? Like, but if it's gender studies, you'd think these people would have a little more compassion about
I guess this isn't like Northwestern gender studies a couple years ago when they had the whole like sex demonstration.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, wow, everybody did.
That was just like, what did you think about that?
Well, that was extreme.
It was a woman who had an orgasm in front of a class. They were invited to stay after the class to watch her have an orgasm by a machine called the fuck saw.
The name of the saw bothers me.
I think even actually like other people came just to watch.
Hold up. Yeah, let's go right to the root of this problem. Mm-hmm. The root of the problem is that this thing is called a fuck saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was like she was staying after school to do a demonstration on the butterfly, it would have been different. But the fact that it was just called a fuck saw after school, that wouldn't have worked for me.
It seems a little extreme,
you know?
We want to remind the people that are listening to this live that we're going to continue a little bit later on and talk about other things. But we're wrapping up Pride 48, our appearance on Pride 48 series. If you want to listen to the rest of the podcast where we're going to get into other delicious nitty-gritty things, you can do so by upgrading at feastoffun.com/plus. And somebody is asking us some questions, and they're like, why are you ignoring my questions? I was like, well, ask again, and we will answer them for you. But so what do you guys think about the fact that Google refused to censor that video that caused basically that, you know, that active, that violent people in Libya used as a way to justify murdering American diplomats and cause all sorts of riots over there, and now they finally banned it off of from those countries to viewing them, but it's still available. And Google has community guidelines. They arbitrate hate speech, and they say that they will not accept any videos that have hate speech in them. And I actually saw the clips of the video that was in question, and I would say that it actually does violate Google's community guidelines in that it was very hateful towards Muslim people. And I don't understand exactly why they're suddenly defining this as a free speech issue when they've created guidelines to
I think it's because it's wrapped in politics, and so people feel as though it's because you're speaking about things of a political nature that it's different.
And you know, it's like Google has no problems when homophobic bigots downvote somebody's video for two men kissing, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, they've had our videos, they've had every major famous gay person on YouTube had their accounts sooner or later suspended.
Let's go, Chris Crocker, Johnny McGovern.
Love B. Scott. Michael Buckley.
All of those have at one point in time been suspended or canceled because of...
Hate speech.
Well, it's because homophobes, like marking stuff down.
And being thumbing them down, mm-hmm. saying this is, you know, disgusting, these gays and stuff. And they're comfortably able to remove those videos. Now, it was temporary and they did bring those accounts back. But Google, for some reason, is like... You know, trying to flex its political muscle or acting really weird with this whole thing. I think the simple solution is like, this is hate speech. It violates our community guidelines. Take down the video.
Also, think of the political ramifications of that video, too, and like how all the, you know, Romney came in and talked about it and Obama came in and mm-hmm. talked about it. Like, what's Google's motive for stirring the pot politically?
And, more viewers.
Yeah, you know.
So this is like those greedy reality TV producers who will ruin people's lives.
That's Google.
Google just to make a buck.
Well, it's, you know, it's...
Well, maybe. Who's to say? But that seems...
And you actually watched the video, and it's a pretty shitty...
I watched clips of it.
It's a pretty shitty production. And
it's like
pretty,
a Jack Chick comic book. It's like those sleazy little tracks that you get at the mall by religious fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, the Prophet Muhammad said that those, you know, all this crazy conspiracy theory, really poorly produced, with lots of overdubbing and actually mm-hmm. using clips from other movies. And it's just a piece of garbage, you know?
Well, and it's almost like one of those things. It was definitely probably something that was created to provoke a response similar to the ones that we got. And I actually was reading some kind of news article saying that some of the protesters at some of these places, they were actually paid to be there. So there's people that have like a very vested interest in us not having peace with these people. And, you know, I don't know if it's war profiteers, politicians who want to keep us afraid so they can control us. It's look, I'm sounding paranoid now.
But very smart.
But I, I just wish, you know, Google paranoid took the more the brilliant. Approach either, you know, set had a better situation with arbitrating hate sensor. Speech
mm-hmm.
and were more transparent about their mechanisms that allowed things to, you know, it just they have a lot of double standards that's gonna bite them in the ass, is biting them in the ass. Mm-hmm. And I wish they'd take a better approach like Twitter, who just says a smaller, younger company, you know, that when faced with similar concerns has stood strong and said, we're going to just withhold this content from a certain country only in the face of a valid legal order.
Mm.
And only when a valid legal order comes in will we shut this stuff down. Instead, Google is like taking, you know, the courts into their own hands and trying to arbitrate what hate speech is and what isn't and what's acceptable and what isn't. And I think that actually gets them into trouble.
They could probably be a lot better at it considering they're like a multi-billion-dollar corporation. They could probably have whole teams that work on these things and it would just no problem at all.
There's like five people that work there. And we've met a couple of them, and they're super hot.
They downsize.
But they can't handle... I mean,
that's
seriously.
That's YouTube, right?
That's for YouTube, yeah. It's like YouTube is run like by 10 people. It's mm-hmm. like you'd be shocked, you know? And so part of it is they just need to have more people working there and just dedicate more resources.
Let me tell you...
Creating jobs.
Let me tell you what...
Yeah.
Rick, right here on the Feast of Fun.
Hire me, man.
I'm going to give you guys a good laugh. Listen to what Rick Santorum said at the Values Voter Summit. So he said this: we will never have the media on our side ever in this country. We will never have the elite, smart people on our side because they believe they should have the power to tell you what to do. So basically, he told the people in the audience, you're real dumb.
Right. Portion control.
Portion control.
I wouldn't trust anybody who like can't figure out how to reset the clock on their VCR and still uses a VCR.
Well, then that would
still
be me.
Uses the castle.
Poor Jamie.
Aww. But Jamie's good at other things. Jamie has skills.
Jamie has me. That's why Jamie.
But you're not a person who's like going, I am proud to be an ignorant fuck.
No.
No. No, I'm he's not. Not no, he's not.
And you're not.
Of it,
and he's I don't think of you.
No, no. I keep Jamie very politically in check.
You know what it is? I have an extreme side of my brain, so everything in my mind runs on a visual level.
Yeah.
It's all about visual. Yeah. And I'm always in my head. There's a switch that can't be switched off, and it's the truth. I'm always thinking about something. You guys will laugh, but it's true. What I can create and what can I do with like. The food, or it's always about moving forward. So it's for me to slow down and think about shit that doesn't really. I know it matters in politics if you want to get into politics, and I can talk about that. But for me, in looking at just some of the political candidates, you know, for me, I don't take it. It's a serious matter, but for me as an individual, I don't take it that seriously because to me, it's just all so.
It's the story contrived. That never changes sometimes.
Listen, yeah, there's not a single person who votes Republican that is going to be a fan of anything that we do.
So I don't care.
So, go you know, seriously.
Listen to this shocking news. 1 in 3 men in the UK are too fat to see their own penis.
Oh,
33% of 35 to 60-year-olds are so overweight they can't see their junk. And 44% of those aged between 51 and 60 can't see it. And so a doctor says an obese man who cannot see his penis is 5 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes, 3 times more likely to develop cancer of the colon, and more than 2.5 times more likely to develop high blood pressure, a major risk factor for stroke and heart disease.
Jamie, you look fantastic. How have you lost all this weight?
Portion control.
Thank you. I can die now.
Die now.
I know louder.
I know you've been dying to make me.
Come on,
that.
There must be another secret. Something beyond
portion. We go on long walks. We go on long walks.
Oh, you're talking about my
problem? Yeah, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just living good. That's really it.
Portion control.
I'm a happy boy. That's all.
Mm. No, you've been working out. You've been watching what you eat.
Of course, I always do.
You know, people just eat so much, especially young people. They feed off of pizza, pretzels, and potato chips and
all
sodas.
All that stuff is yummy. Let's face it. Pizza, mm-hmm. pretzels.
I don't think it's that yummy.
It's kind of yummy.
You love pizza. You had a piece of pizza last night.
Oh, you lying sack.
You ate, I had yogurt last night after
pizza.
We
ate yogurt together, didn't we?
No.
Oh, no.
No. When we left you guys, we stopped and got yogurt. You obviously stopped and got pizza.
We had pizza before. And yogurt. I had a bite of his pizza.
And a bite of my yogurt, too.
Yes, and a bite of his yogurt. Mm. Fausto's dessert. My dessert is always a subset of Fausto's dessert. Ooh, I have chocolate chip cheesecake on the fridge.
See, I think there's a time and a place for everything, but you have to really understand that everything you put in your body matters. I always say that. It really is what you eat. It truly, truly is. And I understand that from just the experience of cooking so many diets.
And what is in your heart?
You know, it's
covered in fat and cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, totally. No, but you can also have pizza. I'm a firm believer that you can have pizza and enjoy it. But, you know, I think there's a theory behind eating it guilty and eating it with pleasure. You know, there's...
Guilt versus pleasure you're consuming.
While you're eating, because so many people say, oh my God, I shouldn't have this pizza. I shouldn't eat this pizza. It's like negative about pizza, right? Mm-hmm.
Is that what you told Madonna when you served her a slice of pizza?
No, you know, the truth is that I never really cooked for Madonna. I was her...
Or Sarah McLachlan, you cooked a bunch for
her. Yeah, I wrote a cookbook with her called Plenty. Yep. It was, it matters how you eat it.
Every time I tell people about your cookbook with Sarah McLachlan, all they say is like, man, she bums me out.
It's because of that.
That's
because
commercial.
Well, listen, all of her songs, I love Sarah McLachlan more than anything. But some of her songs are so like, you know, they really take you there, right? So they're all about relationships that didn't work and what, you know, the hardships of being in love. And then there's that damn commercial she did with the ASPCA.
I've gone to, outside of that thing, I've been to funerals where they played, half the music they played was Sarah McLachlan's songs.
God love her. She's so not like that in person.
And it's like, I will remember you. Will you remember me? And it's like, I remember the it was like one of my best friends in college. He died in a car accident. Mm. He was gorgeous. So like every gay man wanted to sleep with him. and was in love with him, you know.
What's
so
that got to do with the story?
Well, the story is that I went to his funeral, to his wake, and they played, like, the first song they played was Sarah McLachlan, and he was a Madonna fan.
And can you say McLachlan again?
I can't pronounce the name.
Say it again.
McLachlan?
Yeah, there he
is. I know like how fast you say it.
Did
you have a seizure?
But so they were playing I Will Remember You, and just the crowd started sobbing.
Oh, God, yeah. Aww. Damn, those commercials. I'm at home, I'm watching the ASPCA commercial, and those kittens, there's one kitten with all crap on its eyes in a cage looking up gently with the fog around it.
And reality, like, she's actually a cheerful with a matted person.
Hair. Yeah, she's great in person.
Why does she say, make all these songs that kill us?
She cares about
because she has a beautiful heart. That's why.
She makes us cry so
much.
Forget
it. Her heart is as big as the world. She's in a great person.
There was a woman in Oregon recently who was helping the stray cat. She saw a stray cat and it was choking on a mouse. So she's like, I'm going to go help this stray cat. And the cat bit her. And she ended up getting the bubonic plague all things. And her hand turned like black. Oh. Luckily, they were able to catch it in time. But that's just like
that's what
nuts.
Happened to me.
You got the bubonic plague.
We got a great story. Can I please tell it?
I didn't know this about you.
I lived it.
Yeah, but you don't
sound
tell
so
it.
Happy for getting the bubonic plague.
Yeah, I know.
I got really bit happened. By a cat. Long
no,
story.
No, I
got to
tell
short.
A story.
Tell
Can
us
tell
story.
It?
Tell us a story.
I'll give you cliff notes.
We're all about stories.
I'm on tour. And I would get to call Rich. You know, my job on the road doesn't encourage me to get a lot of phone time. So I call him like in the minute I have. And I called him a few times throughout the night. And he was throwing a party for him, his girlfriend, and a few other people. And they're downstairs, of course, doing karaoke because that's what we do best. And he's upstairs in the room. Go ahead, tell me. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and so I'm everybody goes to bed. People were staying over at the house. I hear at 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear this sort of like, you know, melee going on downstairs. I go to open up where we keep our cats at night to discover that there were three cats in the room and we only have two. There was a stray cat that basically broke its way into the house. Let's just call it that. I left a window open. And so then the cat made it in. I discovered it. A cat fights me with me throwing it out the window and bites me. So the next morning, I didn't go to the hospital or
Hold
anything
up.
Like that.
So now, first thing is, our house is like a steel trap. You can't just break in to this place. Or a cat doesn't want to even come in because we have two dogs that patrol the house.
Yeah.
Right? So any animal just getting in is a feat in and of itself. So he calls me. I'm like, and the room where you lock the cats in is not that big. And I'm like, how did a white cat get in this room?
He's never seen the
night.
Cat. That's my description.
You know, how do you not see this cat? Furthermore, it's the next day. I go, did you even go to the hospital? You know, cat bites are really dangerous. And
are
did
they?
You? Yeah. And
oh,
did you
yeah.
check
you
our
can lose
other?
A finger.
Did you check our other cats? And he, of course, goes right into, oh my God, I totally checked them. Blah 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 blah. Okay. Pan 1 week later, my cat is in the third bout of antibiotics that they're giving her because this other cat ripped her. My cat got raped.
No, the cat didn't get raped. The cat just bit the back of our cat, causing a massive infection by her vagina.
Oh.
She got raped.
And you didn't get infected.
Yes,
I did.
You did?
Did you have to go on antibiotics
too? I had to go get a shot in the ass, and then I had to go on 10 days. And it was the reason why I had people over at the house, it was the last day of school, so it was like beginning of summer. I was on antibiotics for like 3 weeks.
And he had to go
that's a long time for
this thing. But he didn't go to the hospital. That was the first thing. So
my
he went.
Finger blew up like a sausage.
Moral of the story, kids, if you see any animal, wild or otherwise, in your house, open the door and shoo them out. Do not try to touch them.
Or shoot
I
them.
Had a big blanket around me, so I thought I was protected.
Even if you have a blanket, don't touch them.
Don't touch them, man. Use like pair of tongs or a
there
taser.
There are mouths, especially if it's a stray, they carry terrible infections and bacteria in their mouths.
Infection.
Wow. No idea.
Who knew? Now that's exciting.
They will leave you with that.
At least it wasn't bubonic plague, though.
Yeah.
It might have been.
But it could have been.
We don't know.
It could have been a lot of things.
I am feeling dizzy. That was 3 years ago.
Chef Jamie Lorita, Rich Lane, it's always a pleasure having you guys on the show. You are a lovely group of, and of course, the lovely
Roberta Hines.
Roberta Hines, their nosy neighbor. You guys are really grounded, wonderful people, and we hope that you you and Big Ange get their own reality TV show.
Who knows the future of anything, right? But I want to say back to you guys that it's always really fun coming on this show. And I love listening to the cast. I think they're hilarious. Every single time there's something to look forward to. So you guys are going to be big stars. Keep going.
You're so sweet.
I'm trying to watch my weight, so I'd rather be a portion-controlled star.
Buy my new line of weight loss products called Portion Control.
You know, how about this? Start a chocolate diet candy and call it weight
portion,
loss.
No, portion or control. No, and
AIDS.
Have it like
it could be a little segment. With a Y.
AIDS.
That already came out.
Oh, that's been done. That's been done.
That was the 80s.
That was the
80s. They didn't sell too well. Ridiculous.
No, they took those off the market real
quick. You know what they try to do?
I hear that's more popular now, too, by the way.
No, the AIDS diet candy with a Y, they were like, shit. You know, it's like, why wouldn't we call it cancer?
Right, yeah.
Or Alzheimer's or something. So they had this diet candy and they were like, well, I guess we need to rebrand it. So yeah. Do you know how they rebranded it? They changed the name from AIDS to Diet AIDS.
Oh.
Oh my God.
And then went off the, you know,
diet
went out of business.
AIDS?
Yeah, Diet AIDS was the
name. That's not better than AIDS.
That was not any better.
Die AIDS.
Die AIDS.
Of AIDS.
So they went bankrupt, basically. They went out of business.
Yeah, no shit. They need to find a better creative director.
Well, they did it pre-AIDS. Like, it
no,
came
it was in the middle of the AIDS crisis.
No.
They changed their name.
No, what they should have done, they should have called it...
When they called it AIDS before...
I have an idea. Call it Cure for AIDS.
The candy pre-existed the AIDS crisis.
Of course.
But then, in the middle of the AIDS crisis, they were, of course, having a slump in sales, so they hired some marketing people to rename the dessert and the candy, and they came up with Diet AIDS.
Wow.
So this biggest mistakes ever. Thank you so much for listening and coming on the show, guys. And we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.